Hello, and welcome back to Texas Tech Health Check from Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. I'm your host, Melissa Whitfield. We want you to get healthy and stay healthy with help from evidence-based advice from our physicians, healthcare providers, and researchers. It's been 70 years since the first bariatric surgery, and weight loss continues to dominate social media feeds, listicles, and magazine covers. Whether it's the constant exposure to people telling us how to lose weight fast or just our impatience, we want to shed those pounds by the time bathing suit season comes around. However, as you've heard our experts stress before on this podcast, effective weight loss strategies emphasize changes in habits for long-term weight loss and overall health. Sometimes, though, medical intervention is required, and that's why you should talk to your primary care provider about what is right for you. Dr. Seema Shavendar from Texas Tech Physicians Department of Internal Medicine talks to us about bariatric surgery and also about how small, consistent changes can lead to significant weight loss and improved overall health. Dr. Shavendar, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your expertise, and what you do here at the Health Sciences Center?
Sure. So I graduated residency from Texas Tech Internal Medicine, RECM, and I am currently working as a primary care provider at the Health Science Center with Texas Tech Physicians. But we have some exciting news. My office will be moving to the new UMC Health and Wellness Center off of Slide, and I believe it's like 114th.
Well, again, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
So our topic for this episode is weight loss. And 70 years ago, the first bariatric surgery was performed. Tell us about the current or more modern versions of this. It's been 70 years.
I mean, isn't that incredible? How far we've come. Today, the modern bariatric surgery procedures are more effective, minimally invasive, and tailored to each individual patient's needs. From the surgical techniques, safety and efficacy, achieving higher success rates with sustained weight loss, going through the actual patient selections, meaning like they have this criteria which has become more refined to ensure the best outcomes for each individual's. And more importantly, the multidisciplinary approach that these programs have been emphasizing lately is incredible. It involves a team of healthcare professionals, including your surgeon, your dietitian, a psychologist, and an exercise physiologist. This comprehensive care model actually helps before and after the surgery, addressing their physical, nutritional, and psychological needs. And also, they have this long-term support and follow-up care to ensure that the patient's well-being after surgery is good. So there's constant ongoing research and innovations in this field, and mostly to improve techniques, devices, and the patient outcomes. And it's truly evolved. And I'm curious to see where the next 70 years is going to take us.
Have we seen the last of the procedures now that it seems like everybody is on weight loss drugs?
You know, bariatric surgery continues to be valuable and an effective treatment option for individuals with severe obesity. What do I mean by that? This is considered the people whose BMI is greater than 40, or an individual whose BMI is greater than 35 with obesity-related health conditions. I mean, in general, bariatric surgery typically leads to more significant and sustained weight loss when compared to weight loss drugs, particularly for those who have not had any success with other interventions. So no, I don't believe we have seen the last of these procedures just yet, though these weight loss drugs can be a helpful option for some individuals in combination with lifestyle changes, diet, and exercise.
Are there more obese people now, or are we just bigger overall?
I think I'm the same height as my grandparents, but and also what medical problems are associated with obesity?
There is a significant increase in the number of obese individuals globally compared to previous decades. And this rise is really attributed to various factors such as our sedentary lifestyles now, unhealthy dietary habits, and genetic predispositions. And yeah, obesity is associated with a wide range of medical problems. We are talking about cardiovascular diseases. Obesity is a major risk factor for heart diseases, stroke, and high blood pressure due to the strain on the heart and blood vessels. Excess body fat can lead to insulin resistance and impaired glucose metabolism, increasing your risk for diabetes. Respiratory issues, conditions such as sleep apnea, asthma, and obesity hypoventilation syndrome. These ultimately are affecting your breathing and oxygen intake. Joint problems. So many of my patients, they come in and they're complaining about the pain in their knees. And the added weight from this excess body fat can put strains on your joints, which leads to your osteoarthritis and ultimately chronic pain. Obesity is associated with dyslipidemia, fatty liver disease, metabolic syndrome. Also, there's increased risk of depression, anxiety, and self-esteem, so your mental health issues. It's also a known risk factor for several types of cancer, breast cancer, prostate, colon, pancreatic. There's also your infertility issues, reproductive health problems, the menstrual irregularities and complications during pregnancy and childbirth. And last but not least, you have an increased overall mortality risk due to association with all these numerous diseases and health complications.
Is obesity or the inability to lose weight a matter of self-control?
Look, obesity and weight management are complex issues that involve a combination of genetic, environmental, social, psychological, and behavioral factors. I do personally believe that a large part of our inability to lose weight is due to our self-control and our personal choices. But I don't want to oversimplify it by attributing obesity solely to a lack of self-control. So if that makes sense, things I consider when patients come are like the biological factors. Genetics can influence a person's metabolism, appetite regulation, and fat storage mechanisms. Some individuals just have a genetic predisposition to obesity, affecting their ability to lose weight despite their efforts to control their food intake and exercise habits. You're talking about the people who come in and say, look, doc, I've tried everything, and they truly have, and they cannot lose the weight. Another thing I consider is environmental factors, our access to unhealthy food options. Oh my gosh, the processed, quick, easy foods at the grocery store or the fast food restaurants. I mean, it's so unfair that those are so easy for us. And then we have our sedentary lifestyles, our busy schedules, socioeconomic status, and our cultural norms. All of these create challenging barriers to maintain a healthy weight or sustain these lifestyle changes that we want to be able to have, you know? Emotional eating, so our psychological factors. I am an emotional eater. You know, when I'm sad, I'm eating. When I'm happy, let's go eat. You know,
it's just how we celebrate.
Exactly. So stress, trauma, low self-esteem, depression, and other mental health issues can impact our relationship with food. And addressing these factors is crucial to establish healthy eating habits and sustain a behavioral change. And we see this with all the new apps that are out there and targeting the way our mindset is related to food. Another very important thing I consider when a patient comes in is limited access to affordable, nutritious foods. So there's socioeconomic factors, safe spaces for physical activity. I mean, anyone can then say, well, you know, we have the internet, go on the internet and search on YouTube and you can find all these free videos to work out at home. Well, some people don't have one, a computer or an internet or a home that they can actually do anything in. So we have to think about that. Safe spaces for physical activity, very important. We don't have those resources. Healthcare resources and social support. You know, you have to think about all of that as a whole. And we also have to consider certain medical conditions, hormonal imbalances, thyroid disorders. These are last. You know, it's so funny. A lot of my patients come in and they say, I've gained weight or I haven't lost weight. I think I have hypothyroidism. That is the last thing we like to think about. Let's rule out the more important causes. And I will get to that when we do. There's also polycystic ovary syndrome, PCOS, and medications that can contribute to your weight gain or making your weight loss more difficult. All of those reasons are really why I don't want to oversimplify it and say, oh, obesity is solely due to the lack of self-control.
For those who just want to lose a few pounds, what do you recommend that they do?
I would say focus on your healthy eating habits. And what do I mean by that? Incorporate more whole foods such as fruits, vegetables, lean proteins, whole grains, and healthy fats into your diet. Aim for balanced meals that provide essential nutrients while controlling, this is very important, your portion sizes. Limiting processed and high-calorie foods such as your sugary snacks, your refined carbs, and sugary beverages. Focus on your mindful eating. Pay attention to your hunger and fullness cues and avoid distractions while eating. This will actually help prevent overeating. Stay hydrated. No, not your Cokes and your energy drinks. Plenty of water. Drink plenty of water throughout the day. Sometimes we mistake thirst for hunger. Incorporate exercise into your daily routine with the eventual goal of at least 30 minutes of moderate intensity exercise per day for 5 days a week. I'm saying eventual goal. Start slow, baby steps. You know, you'll get there. And I try and set realistic goals for my patients. Losing half a pound to a pound per week is considered a healthy rate of weight loss. But you know, when my patient comes, I usually like to ask them, how hard would it be for you to lose a pound a month? You tell me, how hard would you have to make these drastic changes in your life?
Not really.
No. And then in 1 year, how much would you have lost?
12.
12 pounds. That's 12 pounds lighter than you were right now. So you've had all these years that we've been gaining weight or have been at a higher amount weight set point. And now you're starting to lose weight every year slowly. You know, it's very important to have these realistic goals. You will get there. Another thing I tell my patients, prioritize quality sleep. Insufficient sleep can disrupt your metabolism and hunger hormones, leading to weight gain. Though I understand it's very difficult sometimes to control this because some people have children that wake them up in the middle of the night, newborn, all different factors, you know, a dog. But nevertheless, prioritize your sleep when you can. And manage your stress and seek support from a friend and family member or healthcare professional who can help you stay motivated and on track.
Some people who are overweight or obese, they might not see a primary care provider and neglect their health because they've been told constantly that their problem is that they're overweight. What would you say to them to encourage them to select a primary care provider and take charge of their health?
Choosing a primary care provider is a crucial step in taking charge of your health and well-being. PCP plays a key role in preventative care to help detect and manage health conditions early on. When you establish with a PCP, this allows for continuity of your care. Your provider will get to know your medical history, your preferences and needs, and giving you a personalized care and better coordination of treatments. We serve as your first point of contact for addressing various health conditions. We focus on promoting overall health and well-being through lifestyle modifications, preventative measures, patient education, and disease management. That is our job, but you need to start taking charge of your health, which involves making proactive choices, staying informed about your health status, participating in preventative care, and seeking timely medical attention when needed. When you prioritize your health, you are creating a better you.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
You know, just remember that small changes consistently implemented over time can lead to significant weight loss and improved overall health. Approach your weight loss goals with a balanced mindset, focusing on long-term habits rather than your quick fixes or your drastic measures. Don't see it as a problem of looks. It's a problem of your health. You want to fix feeling better inside. You know, whatever you do now will affect you years from now into your older age. So celebrate your progress, be kind to yourself throughout the journey, and try and enjoy it. You will get to your goal.
Well, thank you so much for all this great information and for coming on our podcast. Looking forward to having you come back again. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Texas Tech Health Check. Make sure to subscribe or follow wherever you listen to podcasts. This information is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek immediate medical advice from your physician or your healthcare provider for questions regarding your health or medical condition. Texas Tech Health Check is brought to you by Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center and produced by Tierra Castillo, Susanna Cisneros, Mark Hendricks, Kay Williams, Hope Caperton, and me, Melissa Whitfield.